Okay, let's prepare ourselves. We move again in this study to that which marks a person as belonging to Christ. There is nothing that indicates in the flesh world, in the material world that we can see, that someone is a born-again believer. So, because that's a spiritual thing, we don't even have anything experiential about it. That we know that we have been transformed and have eternal life. Different Christians, different people go through various experiences. Some have very dramatic experiences, and some, I believed, and just went on. But to authenticate that we believe and that we are believers, we come to the great question, what is it that should authenticate a person who's believing in the Christ, that they are believers in Christ? And some people would say, well, they're really morally righteous above everybody else. And that's not true. That's not what Scripture says. That's not what the head of the church says. The head of the church says what is going to authenticate is the way that we deal with one another, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know, and that you belong to me. So it's and when we think about it, why not? Because what is the whole thing with Jesus Christ, that he came and died for us, fellow members of the human race, and he became a member of the human race. That's how he dealt with us, even when we were his enemies. And so this is going to be the mark, and this is what we're in the midst of studying, just about through with the study. I think we're on the last one of the negatives. So let's prepare ourselves that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the things we have to see tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have such a short time on planet Earth. We calculated in days and months and years, but even we begin to grasp soon in life that it is very brief. We begin to grasp that the things that we thought were so important are just so unimportant. Father, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes that we can grasp these things sooner in our life than later. That there are so many things that we go into turmoil in our soul about based upon human relationships, based on things in life, even material things. Father, pray that we see that in light of eternity, they're just so unimportant. Therefore, Father, that your Spirit will continue to transform us into the image of Christ, and there we will see what really is important. Father, we pray that the Spirit will open our eyes so we can see the inner relationship that you would have us to see tonight, and how we kill one another, how we take another's spiritual life away from them, and the weapon is our tongue, so vile and vicious. But Father, not only that we see how not to kill, but why, and what to do instead of killing them. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things that happens, and there's a lot of debate and a lot of books, and people like to argue, but one of the things that happens when we accept Christ as Savior is we do not lose, or we do not, the sin nature, there's a lot of words we can talk about, the sin nature, not so much a biblical term, but things like carnal. Our carnal nature is a biblical term. Old man is a biblical term. So we have words like this that describe who and what we are. Another very strong one in this category that's often used, especially by Paul, is flesh. And not every time, but often when Paul will talk about the flesh, he's talking about our old man or our carnal nature. For example, in Galatians, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So we have the flesh. Now, the point is that this aspect of our being does not leave us when we become Christians. What happens is we do become new, we have what we call the new man in Christ. We have a human spirit, these kinds of things begin to happen. Now, in our relationship, in our dealings with one another, and I'm going to go, instead of going up, we'll go down, but dealing with one another, other members of the body of Christ, other believers, parentheses, yes, even the unbeliever. But again, this is not my emphasis. This is the emphasis of God the Holy Spirit, that you love one another, other believers. The new commandment is to one another, and all of these one another's that we've been studying, other members of the body of Christ, which makes it very difficult. Now, what we have to realize is, in our day-in and day-out living, is that we can deal with one another. No, let me correct that. We do deal with one another from one or the other. We either deal with one another from our flesh nature, or we deal from one another with the new man, our spiritual nature. We will deal with one another from one of these two natures that is inside of our being. And this is the heart of what Paul is talking, or what we're talking about here, what James is talking about in his epistle, in so many areas in Scripture deal with this. Now, if we deal with one another from this nature, what is emphasized here is self. This is what is emphasized, is the self person. Now, the old law said to love one another as you love yourself. Why did the old law say that? Well, you have to remember that the law was written for all. It was written for both unbeliever and believer. And that is something that the unbeliever can do. The unbeliever can love someone else as they love themselves. The flesh can do that. Thus, the flesh will do that. And so it all depends on how this other believer is dealing with the flesh self, as to how the self is going to react, respond, and deal with it. And what is emphasized, and I'm going to put the word glorified, what is glorified, emphasized here, is me. Me. You did this to me. And we're talking here about negative things, because we can all understand that if things are going right, everything's fine. Very rarely do you have somebody, when somebody's being really nice to them, be rude and mean back. Most of the time, if somebody's being nice, you're nice back. But so it's when somebody sins against us, somebody hurts us in some way. And so me comes into great play. How could you do that to me? Why did you do that to me? And then the counter reaction to what I'm going to do to you, since you did that to me. Or we can deal with one another from the new man, the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and this is from the power of and the leading of God the Holy Spirit. Now, when this is done, self is no longer the issue, but God, namely Christ, becomes the issue, to love as He loved. This will become the issue. What we're summarizing here to say is this: how we deal with one another, how we deal with another person, is indicative of your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ. If we are in proper relationship with Christ and God, people, we are going to deal with one another in an entirely different way than if we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. This does not mean, now let me take this, doesn't mean here that you'll always be rude, because a lot of times the unbeliever or carnal believer can handle things in a wonderful way. It might even look good, but it's still in the sense of, I'm doing this, my integrity. And you hear a lot about human integrity and personal integrity and all this kind of thing. But self becomes the main issue here. And or we can do it from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about where we deal with one another in sin. That's kind of the heart of our study, is that we do lie to one another. We do steal from one another. We do offend one another in multitude of ways we've been seen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what you do when somebody else sins and it hurts you or affects you in some way. What do you do in return? Do you do it from the flesh or in the power of God the Holy Spirit? If this, then Christ is glorified, exemplified in your life. If this, you are exemplified. Help us to understand in another perspective, John's statement, I must decrease and he must increase. And this involves in a human relationship also. I must decrease in all of this stuff in human relationships and he must increase. We're going to start Tuesday night, spiritual love, very soon now, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of the 16 impacts of spiritual love, the effects of spiritual love. And one of those is that love does not even consider when wrong. That's a powerful statement. Not even to consider when wrong. And so I decrease, Christ increase. And he is one emphasized. So what we deal with can come from the old man, it can come from the new man, and we make the decision whether we want to walk by faith or not. Now, when we walk by the flesh, if we could take things that you and I are familiar with today, this type of teaching analogy, the flesh, if we can perceive the flesh as being a body of its own, the flesh has an immune system. An immune system. We're very keyed on immune systems today because of the advent of AIDS. I've done an exhaustive study at one point, and we might even go back and look at that when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, of spiritual love. But the immune system is designed to protect the body, protect the self, to keep it healthy. That's what an immune system is. And the essential thing with an immune system is that it can identify self. This is the most important thing of the immune system, being able to identify self. By that I mean, what has come into my body is not me. It is a foreign matter. Therefore, it sends out, if that happens, the immune system sends out what are called T cells. They're the first brigade. They're the first infantry sent out to that area. So if here's the human body and something has entered here, then the brain starts to send it out, and boom, 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 all these T cells are going to start, they're sent right here. They all move in. They're the first brigade. And what they're designed to do is to put that into what we'll call something like a capsule and to get rid of it because it's a foreign body. It's foreign to the body. That's why people have sinuses. What are sinuses? Sinuses is a breakdown of the immune system. When people have sinus or they're affected by the things in the air and all this, because they're not things that are going to harm the body, but the body says they will. So that somebody who doesn't have those problems, their immune system is fine, functioning okay. Somebody who does, what is happening is their immune system is saying, this is going to hurt, this is harmful, go in there, and it's just a response of the immune system. All of this to say, what is the immune system of the flesh? It has a multitude of immune systems. A multitude. Example from our study in where we're dealing with killing, do not kill one another and murdering one another. And part of this whole thing is anger. Now, anger, what is anger? Anger is a sin. Okay, great. You get an A. But you're not there. Because you've only... You know, you've done this theological thing here. What is anger? So that I'll know what's going on inside of me and what is happening. Anger is the immune system for the carnal nature, for the flesh. It feels that the flesh, that self, is threatened in some way. And so you become angry. Jealousy. What is jealousy? Oh, jealousy is a sin. Okay, but let's understand what jealousy is. Self feels threatened. Somebody else is praised. Somebody else is getting something. Something is happening. And so flesh self says, hey, ding, 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 you're being put down. You're not getting yours. You need to be glorified. You need to be emphasized. They're getting the glory. They're getting the whatever it is. They're getting all the attention. They're getting the awards. They're getting the, you know, the attention of the opposite sex. They're getting all this. So jealousy rushes to the protection of carnal self. Bitterness. We can just list a whole lot of these type of sins. And what we are really dealing with is the immune system of the flesh self. They're just there, and I use the word just in quotes, they're just there to protect your flesh nature. You're not going, people. You're not going to say, I'm not going to do this any more than we did at home. Well, I'm not going to fight, you know, cancer cells or something foreign in my body. This is natural. This is the flesh nature. It's there to protect you. So that when you do become angry, jealous, bitter, so forth, what do we know about ourselves then? I know immediately that I'm in the flesh. Nobody has to tell me. I can kind of stop and smile because I know what is happening. The T cells, if you please, of the flesh nature are now aroused. Self feels intimidated. Self feels attacked. Self feels like it's losing control, and it's got to be in control all the time. And so, but hate here, hate's another one. Whatever we're going to deal with, all of these things here are all identified with the flesh nature. So that when these things crop up, people, just know one thing. I'm not in the spirit. I'm not in the new man. Because what we're going to see, the immune system of the new man is spiritual love. And I'll show you this when we get there. Here, here's another one. That's another good one. We're going to be studying that one soon. Here's another one. There's just a whole list we could come up with. And flesh self feels threatened. Something about flesh self. Guilt is also a part of this whole thing. On and on and on. But I'm in the flesh. These are all things designed to protect and work with me. Spiritual love, when we start seeing the things of spiritual love, how it protects, like for example, love doesn't take when it's been wronged, it doesn't take it personally. Love doesn't brag. Love isn't jealous. See, because love doesn't feel threatened. That's why love is a perfect immune system for the new man that we are in Christ. And that's why this is what the key thing that God the Holy Spirit gives us. Because it just is going to totally protect us. Other people can be praised. Spiritual love doesn't feel threatened. You could, by appearance of man, be losing control. People aren't doing what you want and all this. Spiritual love doesn't have to control. A lot of things can be going on in spiritual love, just that, but we'll get to that. But this is what's going on inside of us. So that these things start into action. And then what they do is they all have their different ways in which they're going to handle things, which they're going to deal with. Now, what will happen with anger, jealousy, hate, especially, all of these? Very simple. Get rid of that person. Murder. Murder them. If they're out of the picture, it's over. If they're out of the way, it's over. Flesh self can now go, well, we beat that one. They're gone. We're now safe. It's all over. That's why these are what the flesh nature does, what the old nature does, Satan nature, his nature. This is what he likes to do, just murder. If I murder, if I kill from the very beginning, it's over. I could kill this baby Jesus, just to use an example we know of. Then I don't even have to worry about a coming Messiah. I don't have to even deal with it. If I can kill it right now, it's over. And so murder. So I just want us to appreciate what is going on so that we can identify what's happening in ourselves. Don't just say, oh, well, that's a sin, and boy, that, you know. Understand what's going on. Wait a minute. I want to be over here. I need to go back to faith. I need to go back to walking in the light. I need to go back into His power. Because that's how these things are removed from us. It's not a matter of you saying, I will not be angry. I am going to work on anger. Anger is a sin. God doesn't want me to be angry. So I am going to work on anger and jealousy and bitterness because I know they're wrong. I'm going to work real hard. Don't do all that work. Just get into the new man, and these don't even become an issue. Because they're not an issue to the new man. They're only an issue to the old man. The new man doesn't have this immune system. The new man has spiritual love as an immune system. So if this is your problem, don't work on that. Just realize I'm in the wrong area here. I'm walking in the flesh. I need to walk in the spirit. I need to walk in His power. And then these things are no longer there. They're taken away. Why? Because they don't have to protect the flesh because the flesh is not in control. It's a very simple deal.
My first thought is, how long
is it? For the Holy Spirit to do those?
To get there?
Okay, several things. First of all, what we're working on is a constant walking in His power long enough to let Him start working on His things. And He, God the Holy Spirit, is the one who does the cleansing of these. We don't do it. All of you must do, and I must do, is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's it. That's the hard part. That's why, getting back to what we were talking about, Alan, that's why faith is the battle. The battle is not these. The battle is walking by faith and staying in the new man. That's the battle. Well, sure. And when we're walking in the power and His Spirit, He gives us that power. He gives us the energy, whatever word you want to use. And we continue to walk. If we trust Him, and as long as we continue to walk in His light, these things taken away from us. Taken away. And what is really happening is the old man is losing its grip on our lives. And more we're becoming identified, and we're going to more and more live in the new man state, not in the old man state. It may be broken up in an hour. Say, if when you first start walking in the spirit, maybe in the whole day it adds up to 60 minutes, just making a point. And then maybe after the second year, to an hour and 20 minutes. And then slowly, pretty soon you have 10 minutes together where you've been walking in the spirit. And then pretty soon you've expanded that to 30 minutes together. Totally, all together, walking. So these are the things that begin to happen. And this is where we want to walk. But what I wanted to do was to show us what is happening. Now, to orient us to our study, look at, so that we can just see where we are and where we've been and where we're going with all of these things. Look at Matthew chapter 5, and because we're not going to be here much longer, but to orient us to our study, it's been a while now. We didn't meet last week. And so, just to read it, because that's all we need to do, because we've already read this. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 5, 21, 22. The one another we're dealing with is do not kill, we're not to kill one another. And how do we murder one another? What is our weapon? Our weapon is the tongue. That's our weapon, the vicious tongue. It's more powerful than a .45 automatic. It's quicker. It's quicker than one of these rapid-firing weapons. It is so powerful, so quick. The life that we're taking, spiritual life, not physical life. More important, spiritual life. We're trying to destroy this person spiritually. The target, another Christian. Okay, let's look at chapter 5, verse 21. and 22. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say that everyone who is angry, there's our immune system going into operation, with his brother, another believer, shall be guilty before the court of murder. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. In other words, you're calling another believer in Christ for whom Christ died and who is in Christ good for nothing. And whoever says, you fool, somebody who's believing Christ, you're calling them a fool, shall be guilty and have to go to the fiery hell. And so this, we dealt with that. Now, then we went to Ephesians 4. So let's turn there. Yes, sir. Now, I tell you what, on this issue, I did not look at the King James, but the Greek, as I recall when I worked on it several weeks ago now, maybe a month ago, without cause was not there in the original. I will have to check that, John. I will have to check it. But neither NIV nor NASB put without cause. Well, we're going to look at that next. That's our next passage. All right, let's look at Ephesians 4. So at Ephesians 4 now, this is where we left off 2 weeks ago. And so we are at Ephesians 4. We've read the entire passage concept, but just to get us going, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Here's a passage that, again, you recall, a lot of Christians, boy, they love to use this one. They love to come up and say, oh, boy, I have a right. I'm not angry as a sin. Mine is righteous indignation. Okay, if you're going to use that, you better know it. You better know it. It's like somebody said, well, Paul told Timothy to grab a little wine for his stomach's sake. Fine, if that's going to be your passage for drinking wine, and it's not a sin to drink, but let's say you think it is, but you're using that passage, then please understand he's telling that because he's weak. 2 weeks even walked in the Spirit, and the women's lady missionary society stirred him up, and he's so upset, and he just needs some wine to settle him down. So if that's your reason, I'm going to say you're a very weak person. So be careful when you use Scripture to justify something in your life. A lot of people like to use this one. Oh, I'm not in sin. I'm righteous indignation. Okay, fine. Understand what you're saying here. Let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, and we've already looked at it, but we'll just highlight it, verse 26. Be angry if you will. Remember how we worked on the translation. Do not sin. Okay. Be angry, but do not sin. Now, how do we look at this? All right. We're angry at what has been done, but not the person. But it's very easy to go over to the person. Now the reprimand here, look, the warning. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, to understand that phrase, you've got to note the following verse. So look at verse 27. Verse 26, do not let the sun go down on your anger, comma, do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, let me ask you a question. Just so you sort of see how you're thinking with me. What happens when the sun goes down? Huh? Darkness. And whose is the season of darkness in Scripture? Satan. It's his time. See, when God set it all up, you have, in the beginning of creation, we dealt with the whole Genesis creation thing. You have 12 hours of the light. This is God's time. You have 12 hours of the darkness. And this is Satan's time. And this is played not only from the dividing of light and the darkness in Genesis, 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, is all the way to Scripture. You have the time of light and the time of darkness. Now, so, if the sun goes down, time of darkness comes on the scene, and you've got anger in your soul, you're giving opportunity now to the very cause of Satan himself. We've studied all of this. I'm just bringing it to mind again. He can take this now and use it to destroy. And when I say destroy, I don't mean take you out of existence. I mean destroy your spiritual impact. He can destroy you, and he can destroy the other believer that you're angry with. And in generally cases, he can destroy a multitude of believers that are involved in that issue, related to you, related to them. And boy, he has just had a ball with your anger. So that, in effect, what you have done is far worse than what the other believer did, no matter what it was. You have given Satan the opportunity now to take you out of the picture, take him out of the picture, and take other believers out of the picture. You have given him opportunity. And we spent some time in that respect, and we read through the whole thing all the way to the end of the chapter. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God of Christ also has forgiven you. But in verse 31, just to show you the importance, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. So we're dealing in a context again when somebody has hurt or offended or sinned or done something really wrong. There's one other passage that I'd like us to look at now. Turn with me to 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 3. Another passage here I'd like for us to look at. 1 John 3. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
And so really, though, I think the whole root of anger and what you're talking about is if we can get the forgiveness process going from the get-go.
Absolutely. That's it. And that's why Paul, the correct translation is, be angry if you must at the sin that has been committed. But it stops there. You have to let it go so that you can forgive and restore and move on before you are destroyed, this other believer is destroyed, and a multitude of believers are taken out, all under the great plans and use of Satan. People, he's always watching for an opportunity. He's always watching. I wish I could get believers to understand this. It just takes the simple thing, husband, wife. He's there watching when there is, and I'm talking about Christians, when there's trouble between them. And this old guy knows, this creature, super creature, knows just how to move in and take out the husband or take out the wife. It may be what we often think about in the area of immorality, but it may be a lot of things. It doesn't have to be just immorality. It may just to get him to, all the heck with all of this, and I'm just going to work and just forget a relationship. He stays married, but the marriage is dead. And no sin is being committed. And Satan has used the opportunity to get him going and work and make lots of money and just ignore the whole other areas of his life. And the same thing with her. Get her off into something else. It can be immorality. He knows, boy, this is a perfect time to get this guy who ordinarily would never do this, and now I've got him right where I want him, and I've got just the person to bring into his life, just the person to bring into her life. And it's all set up. Why? Because we've set the scene. We've made everything ready for him to do this by the way we have treated one another and dealt with one another. And boy, how we hate to take the blame. Yes, sir? Well, I know, but I'm dealing with the passage. The passage is dealing with Satan. Do not give opportunity to Satan. Absolutely, the flesh of the person is involved. But I'm dealing with how, when we do not, when we carry this anger over, the adversary is very much aware of it in our context. I'm just dealing here in context of how he fits into this whole picture and how we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit and then give over to the flesh. He knows how to use that, and he's in control. And you've got a Galatians where he said, bite, devour, and consume one another. He's just put it all together, and boom, 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 and what we've done, and we want to stomp our feet. No, 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 it's not me. It's the sinful believer. No, it's you. You carried the anger into the pit of the darkness, and Satan just went in and used it. And what is so difficult for some believers to understand, sometimes, more than what we'd like to think, the believer who committed the original sin has already made recovery, went back to faith, understood what he did, went back to faith, and is getting a restful sleep while you're going into the darkness with anger in your soul. He's home asleep, and that makes you really mad. Huh? What?
Is that the wife or the husband?
whatever. They're home asleep. They're home asleep because they have taken care of this, gone back to faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. They've got inner peace. Here you are. You're the one totally disoriented. And you want to jump up and down. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. They're the rat. No. They can't. You've carried this on into the period of darkness. You've given it to an opportunity of Satan. You've turned it into something that will destroy you, neutralize your flesh, your soul, and hurt others and this whole thing. So we have to appreciate the whole process that's going on. Okay, 1 John 3 is another important passage in dealing with the vile use of the weapon of the tongue and murder. Yes, sir. I don't know the percent, but I can say multitude of Christians talk about forgiveness but cannot and will not forget. Do not even really want to in their soul. Because only in the power of the Spirit can we do it. Many Christians, I'll start off with, don't even know how to enter into His power. But most of the time, Christians don't either. They'll talk about forgiveness. But when it comes right down to it, this person doesn't really deserve forgiveness. Because of the power and the impact of forgiveness. Forgiveness is what this is all about. The cross. Forgiveness. God has forgiven, and He has set up the way to be restored to Him. And that's what forgiveness results in. And this person doesn't deserve it. They're not hurting. They're not crying. They're not begging. They're not crawling. They're not this. They're not that. And so we let it build up inside of our souls. And Alan, many, many Christians go into old age bitter over something that happened a long time ago. They just can't. They won't take care of. They will not walk in the Spirit and forgive, go to love, and move on in their relationship with the Lord. Several reasons. There will be a lot of sermons on how wonderful it is, but when it comes down to doing it, and even they do not teach it. Why do so many Christians end up in divorce? Let me tell you one of the reasons why, people. Because this is what is taught in the church. And we have a good example today, so I'm going to use it. Okay, here's the president at the top. Boy, impeach him and get rid of him. Here's the preacher, deacon, somebody in the church, somebody in life, dump them, get rid of them. Now the individual believer down here has a problem in their marriage. You tell me, what have they already been programmed to do? They've already been programmed to get rid. Dump them. We talk about forgiveness, but we're not about ready to do it. You can forgive somebody for bumping into you in the fast lane at the grocery store, but you cannot forgive somebody who really sins against you. Forgiveness is, a lot of times, just depends on what you're talking about. There are certain things, no, just cannot. But we like to talk about it because we know it's in the Bible. It makes a nice sermon, but oh God, people, it's hard to live. In fact, it's impossible in the flesh. Has to be done in the power of the Spirit. All the things about, that's this whole discussion. Peter just felt that he was really great. I mean, do we forgive seven times? I mean, that's awesome. Forgive seven times. And we could talk about all the ramifications of why he said that, but from the Old Testament and all, but let's just deal with it. Seven times is a great amount of time. And Christ said, no, 70 times seven, yes. Yeah. First of all, you bring yourself, because before you even go to him, you've got to have already forgiven. So look at the very end of the chapter. What we've already talked about. Yeah. At the very end of this Ephesians passage, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. What's the pattern? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there's the pattern. It's already been done right here at the cross. Well, we first see it. That's why we forgive. People, we're not forgiving someone. So, see, one of the problems Christians have in forgiving somebody is we're letting them get away with something. People, no one is getting away with anything. It was dealt with at the cross that you like to sing about, talk about, and preach about. But boy, when it comes to flying it, I don't want to. You can't have it both ways. Either this is real, and what happened here is real, or it isn't. This is where it happened. right here. And this is how you and I are to function. And even before I go to that believer, that's why we dealt with it. First thing you've already got to do is, one, what? Take care of your own spiritual life. Continue to walk in the Holy Spirit. That will lead you to forgiveness. And then your next concern is their restoration. And then the third then is y'all's restoration. Their restoration with God, because they sinned against you because they were out of fellowship. And then your restoration. We've looked at those. So this is the process. Absolutely. The forgiveness has already taken place before I even go. I might just change the order, be sure I'm in the Spirit, and go to the cross so he can illuminate and bring to mind the aspects of the cross that are important in this event, what I'm dealing with. So I'm in his light, and in his light, what he can do then is turn on the light in my soul, take me back to here. This is the pattern. This is the standard. This is why he's always going back, not to get us saved again, but to show us the pattern. How to walk in the Spirit, how to forgive, the basis of forgiveness. So many things, Paul, constantly, the writers of the New Testament, constantly go back. Not to get us saved again, but to show us how you say, how you're saved, how you live, why forgiveness, all the dealing with one another, all these things, what happened at the cross. This is why a person's teaching at the cross is so vital to us, people. If my teaching on the cross is false, then it's going to have that one little point where I'm wrong. Teaching about the cross is going to be multiplied in the Christian's life. It'll be magnified. We must understand what happened here. What God did in regard to the believer here. There's a teaching going on that forgiveness of sins of the believer were not taken care of at the cross. There are all kinds of teachings going on. You have to stand by and people, not because I or anybody, you have to come by. What do you see happening here in Scripture? Right here, between God, Jesus, mankind at the cross. And that's your pattern how you and I are going to live. As God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay. It happened in the very first thing. It happened in the time of Paul. It happened in the time of Christ. And what happened was, they moved away from the second sending. The second sending has, the Holy Spirit, has always been a major problem with believers. It has either been totally ignored, it has been, some have been frightful of it, others have embraced it in a way that others are offended by, like a charismatic person offends those who are not charismatic, and so the ones who are not just don't even want to talk about having fellowship with the Spirit. When I first started using the phrase fellowship of the Spirit, which is a biblical term, by the way, in Romans, I had people that said, well, you're just going to take us into to a charismatic movement and he's going to have us rolling on the floor. And my if they stayed long enough, I said, Jesus Christ didn't, Peter didn't, disciples didn't, but, you know, people just, they're all, what Satan wants to do, think about this. The schemes and strategy of Satan with an unbeliever. What does he seek to blind the unbeliever in reference to? The gospel, or Christ, first ending. Okay. Because if he can blind the unbeliever as to just believing in Christ for salvation, this person will never get out of his kingdom. They stay in his kingdom of darkness. They never go into the kingdom of light. Now, take the believer. What is his strategy to blind the believer at? The second sending, the Holy Spirit. The Son, the Spirit. These are where the power. This is where God acts. So that if I can blind you, that's not to just trust the Holy Spirit, but to trust doing something, I have neutralized you from this power. I don't care if you are, I've been Satan, I don't care if you are religious. I don't care if you work hard for God. I don't care about those things. All that you're doing is in the power of the flesh. You're not doing it in the power of the Spirit. This is the only power source, people, on planet Earth greater than He. There's the Holy Spirit who is inside of every one of you. Every born-again believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That means inside of you is the most unbelievable nuclear power on planet Earth, by analogy. And this power is released when you and I just tap into it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have a spirit. You're indwelt with a spirit. No. The moment you accept Christ as Savior, well, here's what happens experientially. Among many things, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which you cannot lose. And the filling of the Holy Spirit, filling, empowering, you know, whatever word you want to use, ministering of the Holy Spirit. This you can lose. All you have to do here is stop walking by faith and you go into the sin nature, the flesh nature that we were just talking about. How do you get back? You just go back to faith. You start doing what you stop doing. You walk by faith. Each one of these dots is walking by faith. Okay, right here, I stop walking by faith. Therefore, as a result of stop walking by faith, I sin. Sin didn't cause me to get out of the spirit. I stopped walking by faith. Sin is a result of that. Now, if I want to get back, then that's not what I do. I just get back, right? Start doing what I stop doing. Okay, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. Powerful writer. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. What a writer. Alright, 1st John 3, verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother, so we're talking about believers, hating another believer, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The last part causes a lot of problems to people. We'll take care of it. But what I really want to emphasize is that first part. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Now in Matthew we saw what? Anger. Here's another word. And please again, let's just go about. What are we doing? Just let me know. Now, does anybody have any problem with that last part? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Does anybody have any problem with that? Huh? Nobody does? Good. Oh, you do? Okay. Because John will make a lot of statements like that in his writing. And it sounds like that a believer is going to lose eternal life and a believer is going to be turned into, going to eternity in hell and all this stuff. Okay. Let me show you what's going on in just extreme simplicity. Look at the board, as messed up as it is, but since you went on the journey of it getting messed up, you can see what I want you to see here. Where does hate come from? From whom? Huh? Which part of self? Less than the old man, right? Everybody see that? Okay. When we die, and we put on the resurrection, what does not become part of the resurrected you? Amen. The old man dies. Now, that's the passage at the end there. And you know that no murderer. Who's the murderer? The murderer is the old man. The murderer is the flesh self. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So the old man who has anger, hate, and murder, he's going to die. He does not have. People, when you sin, now let me rephrase it in going along with our study of one another. The believer who has sinned against you and hurt you, please try to, along with our understanding, go back to things on the cross. Another thing you want the Holy Spirit to make the reality to you is, that's not the person I'm going to be with eternity. I'm going to be with this person in the new man. In other words, so we can express Herman sins against you. That's this nature. That's not the Herman you're going to be with for all eternity. This is the one. This is why, people, we want to walk in the newness of man, the new man, because that's the person that we're getting to know and going to be with for all eternity. If I had a child, son or daughter, and you'd have to know a little bit about my life and growing up in high school and all, I would try my best from just very infancy on, let people love you in Christ, not you in the flesh. It's not because you're a beautiful little girl, a handsome guy, or smart, or have this, or have that, or a talented football player, or musician, or whatever it is. All of this stuff that is so appealing here, and popularity contests, and all the things that are here, let them know you in Christ, would be my constant plea. Not let them see you here and admire and vote and think you're a popular person here. Because this isn't the real me. This is the me I want you to know, because this is the me you're going to be with for all eternity, is the me in Christ. And this is the you I'm going to know. I'm not going to know the you that hurt me and sinned against me. That person's going to die. This is another reason it's so easier in the spirit to forgive, because I know what I'm doing. This person isn't even the one I'm going to deal with in eternity. I'm not going to be with this person forever and ever. I'm going to be with this person. This is the one I want to know. What are you like walking in the Spirit? Because he doesn't change your personality. There's not a Christian personality. We all have a different personality. This is the person in Christ I want to know, and this is the person in Christ I want others to know about me. But it's the one I want to know about you. This one's going to crop up all the time. And that's why the one another, so I'll know how to deal with this and not react when this one crops up. This is the one I want to deal with right here, because this is the one I'm going to be with for all eternity. This is the one you're going to be with for all eternity. But boy, does the, 100 years, a person lives that long, whatever it is, does the short little time on earth, boy, does it just magnify itself out of proportion of eternity. We make such a mountain out of this guy here instead of this one. But this is the one that's going to go into eternity. This is the one you're going to know. Okay, let's deal now. Yeah. Please don't do that. Yes. Yes. Nothing. Nothing. It dies. Just immediately. And we go up, whatever order God Christ had this, we go up and eventually receive the resurrected body. The resurrected body houses this new man. And this is the new man forever and ever. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. This is why, and I don't want to open up another can of worms, but this is why this whole discussion, a whole discussion that comes up, how much will we remember in eternity? We won't remember these things, dear people. They won't even be remembered. Please appreciate that. You won't remember how this person hurt you. You won't remember how they were angry because you did hurt them. Why is God able to say, Abraham did not sin, but he went on to faith in Hebrews 11. Wait a minute. Boy, did you forget? Let me tell you about his sins. There was Hagar. There was this. There was that. No. That's God. God is dealing with the new man. God is dealing with our relationship with him. That's what kind of God we have. I cherish this, that this whole memory bank of the old man is just gone, yes.
Well, I believe that in the past, that not only God was a believer, but the unbeliever isn't going to be in hell thinking about his sin.
Yeah.
He's going to be in hell thinking about Jesus Christ.
He's not even going to be thinking about his sin. Right. Sin's not going to be his issue, because they were taken care of. if we go to the concept of the lake of fire, they're going to be shouting one thing and one thing only, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, the name that they rejected. So, you know, what I used to teach a lot, that you're going to praise or speak the name of Christ in eternity. You can do it in praise or in agony, but you will be thinking of Him for all eternity, one way or the other. Yes. First of all, that is a debated thing. I have nothing that would confirm that there are degrees of punishment in hell. I'm sorry? Yeah, there are degrees. There are degrees.
In
heaven. But we can't just automatically say then that's what's going to happen in Satan's kingdom or in the other end of it, in the darkness end. Well, bring it to me. Let's take a look at it. But that's a long debated thing, and it is debated because there is no proof, as we can say, that there is going to be levels of that. Fine. This is fun. It's gone. It is gone. We're just a new man. And the new man doesn't carry this with him. No. It's no record. No more sorrows, no more tears, sorrows. People, I'm sorry when I've hurt and caused these things to arise in another person. Any Christian would eventually, if they're walking in the Spirit, that I sinned and that I did this. And if that was being brought up in heaven, same. But it's gone. It's not like he's dealing with our memory center. Get this now. What he's dealing with, he's just taking out a whole person of it. The flesh nature. It's gone. And all of its products are gone. It's gone. Over. Kapook. And it's the new man that lives on in heaven. And this is the man that you're going to recognize. This is the one you're going to see. Now, in closing, this is another aspect, people, where you can see how heaven's going to work. You don't have to wait to be in a resurrected body to experience what we're talking about. You can experience it now. In the power of the Spirit, you can so forgive someone else, and even yourself, but you can so forgive that spiritual love isn't even offended when wrong. We can get what we'll call a touch of heaven right now. I can see how that would happen in heaven. Can't you? If it can happen just a blurb right now when I'm walking in the Spirit and see someone that has sinned and hurt and know it's just spiritual love and all, if I can see that now, can't you see it magnified in eternity when this guy isn't even here? So we can get a touch of that right now. You don't have to wait for the resurrected body. You walk in the Spirit, you walk in what we're going to be like in eternity. You're going to walk in that love and in that peace. And when you see this other believer, the anger, the hate, the bitterness, the resentment, the hurt, and all that, gone. How can that be? See, that's what the angels are learning. That's why, this is a good place to close. That's why Christ said, by this, all will know that you're mine. How can it be that God would send his son to die on a cross? How can it be that God would die on a cross for a sinner? And that's what you and I will be like when we walk in this kind of life. We can forgive and restore. And so if it can happen in a blurb, and hopefully maybe even for an hour in your life, then that hour you get to see, this is a touch of heaven. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying right here. Yeah, and of course. Very similar, Matt. So this is how we're going to deal and walk and live, and this is the person that's going to die. We're going to put him off. He's going to die, and the new man is going to be resurrected in a new body, and boom, for all eternity. And none of this would be a play. None of this would be a play. People, how many of you when you're in school? Let's see, Hunter, I guess you're the youngest one here tonight. But how many of you can think back to, I want to make it really good, elementary, or just something was so bad, or junior high school was so bad, and oh man, you never want to smile again, and da 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 da. And today, it just doesn't matter. Yeah. Sometimes. It just doesn't matter. Take us some grades. How many of us, well, some of you, I know, you made great grades. You don't even know what an F looks like, and all that, and I'm so happy for you. But those of us that maybe had a paper, and the agony, and the hurt, and the, maybe a spanking, and all, does it even matter today? Doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. And yet we make such a big deal about it. That's the whole thing. I've used little examples of what when somebody sins against us, hurts us, put it into the perspective of eternity, just really not important. What's important is that I restore them to God. Yes. This would be what? Yeah. Yeah. Let's take going back to the cross. That's the end of the Ephesians passage that we looked at. Exactly right. Yeah. That's what Tish is saying. Just getting to concentrate here. All that happened here. And applied in my life, and pretty soon you end up just saying, this doesn't even matter. Yeah, well, that's what the flesh wants to do. That's what Satan wants us to do. Yes. Yeah, yeah. To an unbeliever? Well, I think the principle is that if it applies in a believer, believer certainly applies in a believer, unbeliever, because we don't expect that of a believer. It's much easier to forgive an unbeliever. Totally easier. I don't expect that of an unbeliever. Yeah. And I say don't even speak against Satan and leave him alone. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you. It's been a good night. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity and fellowship tonight, opening up the scriptures and digesting and reading upon your word, Father. We pray that your spirit will take these things now, cause them to become a reality, and not only that, Father, become part of our daily living with one another. In the flesh and the time in which we live, things seem so important and so powerfully issue in our lives. Father, we pray that we begin to see these things in light of eternity, in light of the cross, in light of your love for us. Father, we pray these things now. In Christ's name, amen.